Sorry about that. I don't know how that happened.
That was weird because usually, like, it starts breaking up, but that just was like, boom, done. Yeah.
Usually, yeah, you can kind of tell. You're like, oh, it's in 2 minutes. It's about a rug.
Yeah. That was crazy. All right.
That was a hard rug. That was a liquidity pull. That wasn't.
Yeah.
Damn. Well,
through the magic of editing, I'll piece these together, these two spaces together, and I'll be good. I'll be good. It was Amanda. We couldn't take Amanda being in the space. She was too powerful.
We got rugged. Here's the new link. I'm just going to post the new, just in case, because there were still.
Man, we were saying some beautiful things too, man. That's great. It was a good one. It was good. I was feeling good. Feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was enjoying that space. Thanks for joining, Amanda. What's up, girl? Well, yeah, if you guys want to continue where you left off, otherwise I can ask my next question here. Or actually, I had something I wanted to say, too, on the same topic. But if you guys wanted to finish
with you asked me if I had any questions, and then I was like, no, and then...
No, that's all good. I love listening to you speak too. It's interesting when there's multiple hosts because they can add different opinions and perspectives, and it really adds to the conversation. I find I enjoy it anyway. I love having you up as a co-host, Eric.
Thank you, thank you. Hey, Kyle, are you going to be at is it NFT NYC or NYC NFT? I forget the order of that.
yeah, it's next month. Stash is doing something there, I think, along with Secret and I believe Stargaze, actually. So we'll be all doing something together.
Nice. If you need anyone in the future, Amanda is great at throwing events, by the way. So plugging her in. Don't know if you're familiar with her, but she is amazing. My favorite event at ETH Denver was a brunch she hosted, and it was really good. It was chill. You got to talk to some like high level people, and it was really good. So if you haven't used her, definitely use her. Our first commercial.
Definitely talked to Amanda. she was very nice and had a good conversation. So yeah, I think she's actually going to be there too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but she will be.
Yeah. Seems like I think when we talked, she had like five events, like back to back days, different venues. I think two were going on at the same time, I believe. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'd be stressing out. I bet she's stressed out.
I'm giving her PTSD right now.
Yeah. I was with her the last day with ETH Denver, and I forget what I told her was about to happen, and she was freaking out. She was like, what do you mean it's about to happen? I forget what event it was. And she was, you can tell that she's got a lot of stuff going on. So that's what happens when you're good at what you do.
Yeah, she handles it like a pro. So yeah, I just wanted to say on the last topic we were talking about, I remember in the beginning when I first joined the Cosmos, like I knew what NFTs were because I heard about, you know, you see on TV or whatever, clips online, people were going on Jimmy Fallon showing their Bored Apes or whatever, all these celebrities are jumping on the NFT train. So I started looking into it a little more myself. I was never actually going to go on OpenSea and buy one or start doing stuff when I knew nothing about NFTs. So I eventually discovered Cosmos, and I think Stash was actually my first NFT experience. So
it was mine too.
Yeah. I think the majority of people started with Stash.
Wait, what was the apes called?
Secret Apes.
Secret Apes, yeah, that was my first one.
There were secret punks. I remember the redacted bunnies. I had like this amazing Hugh Hefner looking Bugs Bunny. And I was heartbroken when that project got in trouble for copyright issues or whatever. I don't even have the NFT anymore. I paid like good money for it too, a couple thousand, and it just got deleted or vanished from my dashboard. So that kind of sucked.
It's still in the back end. You can't delete it from the blockchain.
Okay. Well, I guess they just deleted the IPFS links for those images, eh? Do you know anything about that, Kyle? What like the aftermath? What happened? Is anything gonna help resurrect that collection, or is that sunset for good?
Are you saying the redacted? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the bunnies there.
So I think there's actually some like talk a little bit. I don't know if they're like trying to do something or not, but still unfamiliar. I'm not the best speaker on that one, unfortunately.
Yeah, no worries. I was just curious, what are some of your favorite NFT OG collections on Stash? Like, I know the OG Anons are probably the most popular collection, and they're still doing well. Like, they're still selling, or the floor is around like 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah, so I would definitely say my favorites are the Anons, both the OG and the Anon Army. I think they're really clean, just the idea about being secret and anonymous, and I think it just all hits well. Good branding. I think they're definitely the strongest still. We still see them prevalent pretty through here. We are really excited, if you're not familiar with Shade, it's part of the biggest DeFi on Secret. They're doing a launch here soon, so super excited for that, and I think it's going to bring a lot more DeFi people kind of collecting on some NFTs. It's been a little while for a new collection, so I think it's a fresh fresh start, a new beginning for 2.0.
Sorry, I was just posting something. Amanda's made a nice comment about the spaces, and I wanted to share it with everyone. Yeah, no, that's exciting. I actually didn't get it on any of the secondary collections for the Anons, but I've always wanted to, and looking through Stash again is making me reconsider, you know, starting using it again, because I used to be on it all the time, and then Stargaze came out and some popular collections started on there, and I had no idea what I was doing. I remember even at one point, I don't know if you know the Clandestina collection, but I loved the idea of, you know, fractionalized ownership of a validator's commissions, and nothing really ever happened with that. So it was a little disappointing. And, you know, it's same thing with MetaRats, you know, the runaway investor, the founder of that kind of deserted the community. And I'm not saying that's what the Clandestina founder did, but, you know, some of these projects that people really fell in love with, and the MetaRats, especially, you know, all the different devs and founders of different projects in the ecosystem were rocking 101 PFPs, and like I remember the buzz around that, and it's nice to see the community come together after, you know, if founders do things like that, long term the community tries to revive some of these projects and bring them back to life, because you know, I find NFT communities are a lot different than just normal crypto project communities, and I took a little break from it when the bear market started, because, you know, you can find some communities that aren't the nicest, but now I'm happy with NFTs again. Pixel Squids rejuvenated me, and I'm happy to be involved in that as well. So I don't know. I think that would be a great collection to import onto Stash as well. I don't know if it's already happened, but I would love to discuss that after the spaces if possible.
Yeah, so anybody can come and import, and you can actually get an achievement called Pioneer. So if you're the first person to import a said collection from any of our 9 chains, you end up getting increased gems for right now, and then we're going to be doing more XP boosts and gamifying that. But yeah, just touching on what you said, it's always disheartening to hear, you know, founders leaving and rugging. Unfortunately, that's the nature of the beast. And I think in and finally again, you know, we had the big L with Luna and SBF, and I think that was, you know, clearly a big capitulation moment. And a lot of people's funds were hurt and a lot of people left. And so it is the rebuild. But I think we're, you know, we're seeing greener days. And I think in the bear market, it's easy to get mad at each other. it's like just festering. Everybody's low. But look at it now. Everybody's stoked. So it just shows you how things can pretty change in 6 months. And even 6 months has been a big change from the last 2 years. So
definitely.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, the best vision you can say is hopefully you weed out some of the bad people, some new innovative people come in. And we are excited to see, like, you know, Stargaze do well and Say and Archway. Like, ultimately, like, it goes back to, if Cosmos does well as an NFT ecosystem, then everybody will be prosper. Especially with IBC, you can just transfer money really quickly rather than all this other bridge stuff on other chains. So I think if you can make a strong narrative with Cosmos being a nice hub for cultural assets and, you know, maybe even DeFi or whatever kind of genre you want to go, but it ultimately make it stronger, even if one chain's pulling more weight than the other. But it's more about getting people onto Kepler, getting people onto, you know, Cosmos Money, IBC, getting familiarized. Yeah, it's the most important.
Yeah, no, I agree. I also, you know, I was going to ask your opinion. I noticed lately too, ever since the market turned around, there's been multiple NFT community projects on Stargaze that, you know, they tease these airdrops and then some of them are actually serious about it. Others aren't. And I mean, I guess, like you just said, it's the nature of the beast, and it's just part of the game. You have to do your best to avoid those bad actors and projects. It's tough sometimes, though. You know, you try to be supportive and add NFTs from as many different collections as possible to help out these artists. And some of them, unfortunately, like one example, anyway. And I'm not trying to bash this guy. I don't know him personally, but. The Nine, I don't know if you heard about what happened there, but he had start promising an airdrop to any of his NFT holders. And then when people were asking for more information, after a couple of weeks, he got so frustrated that he kind of told everyone off and said, like, this is my project. I'll do whatever the F I want. If I decide to give you guys an airdrop, that's up to me. But, and it was just like, whoa, you know, and then everyone started selling and it caused a bunch of backlash. And it's just like, yeah, it's unfortunate that that happens. But what's your stance or opinion on airdrops and NFTs? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of positive from it, too. You saw Bad Kids take a route where they talked to developers and had connections in different ecosystems where, like, look how much that benefited the community when it was already happy community to begin with, you know?
Yeah, makes total sense. I think it's, you know, the language of how founders run things is one thing to watch. And it's unfortunate for newcomers because they don't understand or know, they haven't gone through these phases of seeing people at the highs, seeing grifters, seeing these things happen. So, yeah, 1 second, my... food things going off.
No worries. Making me hungry. I haven't eaten yet today.
Getting about lunchtime soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a thing that you kind of have to learn over time, unfortunately. And hopefully you have founders that are good about explaining things, educating, learning about security. I think if a founder is promising any type of airdrop and that's part of their roadmap or that's a big red flag. I think airdrops are a good narrative. And I think that it gets people excited and makes the speculative value go up, as you can see with like Bad Kids and some of these other collections, you know, after you get roped in into these things, you know, you get a lot more increase, which is great for the founders and it's amazing. I do think, you know, there's obviously going to be, whenever there's money involved, there's always going to be lucrative bad actors. So always take it with a grain of salt. If it's a lower tiered NFT, like if it's only like a couple hundred dollars or something like that for them to get like an airdrop that is worthy is suspicious. So it makes sense for some of these blue chip ones to have it. If some of these lower ones, I'd be a little more suspicious. But yeah, I would never go into a investment on an NFT thinking I'm going to get an airdrop from a different community. I think that's taking it a little far.
Yeah, I even have a couple buddies too. It's crypto's crazy, and they FOMO'd into Bad Kids when it was near the top, and they've cooled off a bit since. So not only are they down on their investment, but they didn't like get the Discord roll for the wormhole airdrop, and then they also missed another. Like, so it's like, yeah, it gets complicated, and it gets, you know, people emotional. I saw the backlash about that, but like the eligibility is the eligibility, you know, like Saga. I even like, I'm grateful that I got a little bit for restaking and compounding my Celestia, but because I chose to use the liquid staking module from Stride when it came out early October of last year, I wanted to, you know, earn some extra yield. So I ended up decreasing my Atom stack, so I wasn't eligible for Cosmos Hub. You know, like it's just, it is what it is, and you just have to chalk it up as a loss and take it in stride and just keep going, you know. In crypto, there's always a million more opportunities. So it's, I have to remind myself sometimes too to not get fixated on the things that you missed, you know, because if everyone had their way, we would have all been here from day one and got the Osmo and Juno airdrop. I wish I could have got those, but it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel you on that. It's always the hard lessons. Hopefully you learn over time. And yeah, it's unfortunate, you know, always chasing the pump. FOMO is a hell of a drug. And I feel like if you're thinking about airdrops and things like that, it's a great positive. But most times I feel like snapshots are like a couple months old or maybe even longer. So it's even hard to like, it's either a snapshot just happened like a day before they're doing it, or it's like some previous date or something like that. There's no in between. So it's kind of luck of the draw. I would say like I wouldn't chase something that just had an airdrop, because like for them to get another airdrop or something is pretty hard, I'd imagine. I mean, mm-hmm. Bad Kids I think is an outlier, and I think it's, you know, very rare, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you gotta be early, and then figuring out how to be early and where to be early is the hardest part. Like with the Neta airdrop a couple years ago, right? Like the amount of people that didn't vote on that prop to get an extra 10 Neta. And then me being like, oh, I got a good thing that I voted on that prop, but then I fumbled the bag and like 20 grand turned into 20 bucks over 2 years. So yeah,
those are sad laughs.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm just happy I can laugh about it now.
Yeah, you got it. You got to shake it off like that, or else you just have PTSD forever.
Yeah, no, exactly.
What I always tell everybody is, if you do it once, you can do it again. And if you have that mentality, you'll come across it again. This is a beautiful industry.
No, 100%. I feel like it's, maybe I'm wrong, but the only industry you can almost lose everything and then gain it all back if you just stick to the right strategy and not, you know, invest emotionally and try to get rich quick. You know, those were always my biggest mistakes in the beginning, was trying to, you know, become rich overnight or in a week or in a month, or, you know, nobody wants to get rich the slow way if it takes 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But realistically, you know, if you don't want to throw your risk level to 10 out of 10 every move you make, you know, then you're much safer, you know. But nobody wants to do the safe route. Everybody's trying to trade with leverage and, you know, make these big moves. And I got burned early, learned my lessons, you know, and I'm glad that I did do that early, so that long term I can learn from my mistakes and still, you know, make some profits, because I think at the end of the day, everybody's kind of in crypto for that too, you know, whether it be the job you're working and the money you're making from a Web3 job or just making money from Web3 investments itself. So, I was going to ask you, the time is, we're coming up to the top of the hour here, 4 o'clock. Are you good for another couple questions or did you want to go eat? I don't want your food to get cold if you're hungry.
And, no, you're good. It has to go in still. That was just a timer for it to heat up.
Okay. So you mentioned that you had been invested in Bitcoin since like 2012, I believe you said.
Yep. Long time ago.
Yeah, I know that you must know about a lot of projects then. And I was curious, did you ever invest or were involved in Engine Coin or that NFT blockchain gaming project?
I believe so. Was it ENG, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I bought some. I don't know if I ever messed around with the actual like platform or anything like that. Yeah. I haven't done that much, but I would say when was that? That was like that 2018, 2019? 2020?
I think it was around 2016, 2017 when they first came out, and there was like a lot of hype because that's truly where, like, at first my buddy pitched it to me. I didn't had a hard enough time wrapping my head around Bitcoin and Ethereum at that time, but he's like, oh yeah, NFTs. And like, I was already a gamer, right? And I used to play Diablo, used to play World of Warcraft, used to play, call it like all the platform, PC, pretty much all those super or the most popular games back then, you know? And one of the coolest things that I thought was, you know, having this true authenticity or ownership over your items in the game and have the ability to sell them or trade them, and they're actually like worth something and they're unique, and it's not just like everybody gets the same loot or the same drops, and you know, the options or possibilities are kind of like limitless now with the creation of NFTs, and introducing that to gaming I think is going to be huge in the future. I was curious your opinion, like right now anyway, Passage is the only one that I'm aware of that's like really pushing towards, Saga Network, of course, as well. But right now Passage is building Strange Clan, which is like World of Warcraft, but Web3 version. And I know it's a lot of work to take on, and it's going to take years for the game to develop, but like, I already FOMO'd and bought like 5 characters and have like, you know, the Easter egg things that will hatch into mounts. And like, I'm super excited to get back into games like that. Do you think that that will ever actually take traction in Web3? Like, do you think people eventually will start playing more Web3 oriented games because of the idea of NFTs and what it brings to the table? Or do you think that, you know, Web 2 or platform PC games will still, you know, be dominant in the future?
I think it'll be another mechanism, kind of like if a game is like a freemium game or if it's like a paid game. I think it kind of makes its own category at that point. I believe like the pay to you know, play is a little interesting. I guess there's a lot of mechanics you have to go for it. I do believe, like when kids won't buy a game just because it's NFT related or like Web3 game. In fact, they'll probably be like, "What the hell is this?" I think when games start incorporating their own marketplaces and start realizing that they can make money off of a supply cap, like right now, like majority of these games just have there's infinite supply. Anybody can go and purchase a $20 avatar. There's no like cap limit. But I think some big player, which I think is already happening, MapleStory, they're coming out with a Web3 version. But I believe a big player like that will come out and MapleStory is a
good one. Wow. That's cool. I used to play that.
$300 million or something to make it's called MapleStory Universe.
That's cool. I'll have to show my son that game.
Oh yeah. I believe some big player like that will come along and incorporate the marketplace. And so they'll be able to like track it and sell it. People will eventually, I think the turning point is when the average kid can start making money when he's playing a game. Like if you got a special skin and you can sell it for $10, I think it's going to click. And then eventually people will be, you know, I wouldn't say they're playing for the money, but like it's, you're playing and getting a portion of like game, like that's data. And I do believe, like I said before, like PlayStation and Xbox, what we're seeing now with especially NFTs and avatars, you're owning that data, right? So I can pick up that data, I can go and connect it to a different area, and it can read this data, and now I can use my avatar in game. I think something will be something similar like that, where even though I purchased a avatar on Fortnite, if it's readable on, say, a game like, I don't know, Sims or something like that in the future, then you'll be able to use that avatar in Sims because it can read it, just like it can read cross-chain, you know, playing games.
Yeah, no, I wanted to make sure to get my son more involved. And there's so many different Web3 games that exist currently that, you know, I don't have to wait for like the major kind of blockbuster, for a lack of a better term, games to come out that are like super immersive 3D world, etc. So I'm going to look more into the MapleStory one. And there's a couple ones too. When I was messing around with the gaming tournaments that Saga held over the holidays, there were some pretty cool Web3 games there as well. And, you know, the more I poke around in different NFT projects and stuff, the more you discover pretty quickly, you know. It's hard to keep up with, but it's so cool. So I definitely have to spend some more time looking into that. Are there any collections right now that exist on Stash that are going to be a video game, or like the NFT character you buy, you can play in a game eventually? Or, I mean, I guess through imported collections, you guys will be integrating that at some point, right?
Yeah, so I believe right now you can go and look at 3D assets on Stash. So if it is formatted in like a GLB or a DLT or F or like other 3D rendered formats, should be able to pick it up and you'll be able to see. As far as like people creating it on ours, you can do it now. You can create 3D assets and upload them now. I have been talking to some people about the gaming stuff. Seems like Cosmos is getting a little more popular with the gaming. I've talked to Passage, actually. I think we're going to eventually do some type of marketing push with Stash and Passage, maybe earn some experience and like do some gamified approach with Passage. As far as games, I think it's going to be a really big way for like the average consumer to come in from Web2. I think the people that are inside Web3 already know that that's the cultural side. And so either they like, gravitate towards it or they don't. And I think with games, you'll start having a new vision and new people coming in, a fresh start. Hopefully it's not projected towards them like, oh, this is an NFT, and like really like kind of scaring them away. My personal opinion is if it's so ingrained that they can't even tell they're utilizing blockchain, that's the way it's going to be, you know, mass adoption. And then as far as games, like I'd say I'm pretty heavily invested in games right now, whether it be in NFTs or tokens across a lot of different blockchains. So it's definitely one of the biggest narratives, I think, that's coming. It's already here. I think the last cycle was a lot of just kind of like the ICO phase of like 2017, where there was all white paper stuff. They were just going through the vision of what this even meant. But it's been a couple of years, and now there are some people who are actually really building. If you're talking about like an MMORPG game, I would check out Big Time. They're like definitely the largest. It's pretty much the nicest WoW Web3 game. It's playable right now, actually really playable. If you need a code, I think I have 20 of them. So if anybody wants to try that game out, you can earn money playing the game. It's actually really good. I think the market cap's maybe 300 million, 400 million right now, token. It launched maybe 6 months ago or so. It's in a beta phase, but there's a lot of different genres that are coming out. I would highly suggest like looking at the Epic Store, Epic Games Store. There's a whole category for blockchain games there. So it's really good because there's people that are Web2 that are just scrolling on Epic Store, and they can run into this game that they don't even realize it's a blockchain game, and people can play it right now. There's some free ones. There's some paid ones. I would say lean towards maybe just the free ones because people want mass adoption and what they want users playing. So it's just maybe just trying to do the free route. But yeah, if you have any questions, I have, I'm really invested in the game side of things. So I have a lot of beta codes and I hope the vision that we have with Stash here, since we are biggest backers, Animoca Ventures, they are, if you don't know who they are, probably one of the largest Web3 gaming companies, or I guess VCs in the whole entire space. So we really want to tap into that and hopefully kind of get the gaming side on Stash, getting people allowed to get in beta codes, you know, pre-alpha, try to tap into that market as well. We do see a big emergence there.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I'm going to check that out. I wasn't even aware that existed. I'm surprised I didn't, but looks like I have some more research and stuff to spend hours of my time learning about. This is this is cool. I want to get more into this so my son can learn about it and get involved from a young age. I feel like that would be a really good thing for, you know, young boys or girls to get into, you know, coding for blockchain or gaming and incorporating that into, you know, their learning at a young age, I think would be really cool. Cause I think there's a lot of opportunities, job opportunities, not just for artists, but for people that want to do the coding side as well, or even help develop these platforms and marketplaces. So, he's a huge NFT fan and every week, you know, I should probably start picking a day and set a time to make it more exciting. But every week I'll sit down with him and tell him to come over and I'll just point at collections or ask him which one's his favorite and I'll buy a couple and we do it every week. So it's pretty fun, you know?
That's epic. Yeah, I think the evolving of collecting is changing from just like, I'm buying this PFP. I think we're changing that narrative. And I think people are collecting it just for fun. And everyone likes minting. That's like the best part, is like buying something. It sounds weird to say, but just having it minted and then you just get to see it. It's like such a instant gratification that is just so hard to pass up.
No, for sure. It literally brings the feeling back of opening like a Pokemon booster pack or the magic cards and getting like a, when you hit a rare one, I can't describe the feeling. It's like euphoria inside. And it makes me, you know, it's like that inner child inside of me. It's funny. I always felt strange, you know, about NFTs as like a grown man, but I'm like, nah, you know what? They are fun. They are cool. Like I'm just being silly, you know? I always had a jaded view at first and, you know, I thought it was like mostly scams and whatnot. And then once you actually start talking to the people building the platforms, the artists, people developing all this, it's like, oh, okay, there actually is some really cool stuff being built here. So you just got to dig around a little bit for it, because there is a lot of, you know, it exists on every NFT marketplace right now. You know, there's a lot of just trash projects that people are pumping out for no reason, because they're just trying to, you know, whatever purpose or agenda they have, you know. But it's a laugh too, you know, so it's all part of the fun.
Yeah, but imagine how much is not documented, like artistry that are just doodling and things like that. You can say that's pretty crappy art too. So yeah, it's on-chain, so you can't hide it. And so if you want to try stuff, but yeah, I agree. Agree with you there. Yeah, I think it's going to get more and bigger over time. It's just, I think the money factor at the beginning was a big driving factor, but it also was a negative factor as well. Mm-hmm. But I think we're getting past that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, we're coming up to a quarter after four here. I'm going to wrap stuff up unless there's more stuff you want to talk about or if Eric has any other questions.
No, I don't have any further questions. I've just really been enjoying, you know, learning more about the vision of Stash. And yeah, like it's so different than when I first started, you know, over a year and a half ago, minting the Secret Apes. Like you can see a lot of cool stuff happening on there. So it's just really cool to see that this vision and just talk about kind of the journey throughout it all.
Yeah, we've been busting our asses since I've been there, trying to make this 2.0 live, you know, really change the game. And so we're getting close. I wouldn't say we're quite there yet, but there's a lot of improvements, which is amazing, and super excited for the future. I think there's a lot of open doors that we saw, like, before ETH Denver. ETH Denver definitely confirmed it, and people seem super excited, and I think we're going to crush it.
Hell yeah, I think you guys will too, and Cosmos Spaces team is here to fully support you guys, as well as the other NFT marketplaces in Cosmos, and I see our, you know, I would love to hop on another Spaces in the future. I would love to get Passage on and Stargaze and maybe people from Omniflix and get kind of like a NFT platform marketplace panel going, just to, you know, bring up some topics and hear from everyone's projects and see their visions and see how you guys could all like collaborate or build off each other. And I think competition is healthy too, you know, like everybody has their advantages and disadvantages to what they're building. And it only makes them want to build something better, knowing that there's other people creating different experiences out there as well. So I think you all need each other in the end, and everybody's building something unique that they can all coexist in harmony at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to, you know, arrange that. I think that'd be some great talks. We've been chatting with all of them too, so it's like we're trying to implement all of them, and I believe everything you said.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Kyle. It was really nice to get to know you. And I believe you already basically shared the roadmap there. So
yeah.
Unless you have any closing statements, thanks again for everyone who showed up today. Thanks for your time. Shout out to Tank. I see you. Crypto Goes Viral, Valentin, Romain, Hushpup, Mind, Triangle, Disclosure. Thank you all for coming. And I look forward to doing this again in the future. So we'll keep in touch, Kyle. And I hope everybody had as much fun as I did today. And have a great rest of your day, everyone. We'll keep in touch and take care.
Take care, everyone. Thank you for coming to both our spaces.
Yes. Cosmos Spaces, Eric and Marty, closing the show.
Yeah, that's the only time when you get rugged and you don't lose money.
Yeah. Take care, guys. Have a great day.
There's this principle in like Taoism. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3, that's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Really? Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
They started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rap fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better just like move on.
Channel Spaces.